Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's doing okay this afternoon. I'm quite all right myself. If you'd like to jump in and join us, give us a call. The live in action, 646-478-0616. You don't have to press any buttons or anything after that. Just wait on hold indefinitely until I happen to notice that you've called, and I'll click a button and you can talk to me. Just promise me you won't disagree with anything I say, because I have no valid arguments, towards anything I believe that make any sense at all. And that's mainly why I don't talk about politics or religion on this show, because I'm very anti-both, but I don't like to, argue with people because I usually lose. it's been an interesting day today. It wasn't a typical work day. It was in the sense that I was busy as hell, but I was busy as hell with many distractions because we woke up to a crying four-year-old in our bed this morning. Luckily, it was our four-year-old. We were familiar with this four-year-old, not just some random kid who wandered through the neighborhood and ended up in our bed. It was our four-year-old, and he was crying from an earache, which is, if you have kids, you know, ears are the worst thing that can happen to the human body up until the age of, like, five or six. They're constantly getting infected or full of water or, you know, having mites burrow out of them. So his ear just hurt like hell to the point that he was in tears. It was heartbreaking. And so we decided, well, kid's not going to school. He's going to have to go to the doctor. And then on top of that, one of our cars broke down. So there's a whole big cluster F of a morning wherein my wife went to work instead of just calling in and saying, hey, I can't come in because the kid's sick. And I work from home. So basically I was stuck at home trying to work with my kid, who miraculously, I may change my position on religion at this point, who miraculously was all better. But, you know, as soon as my wife left, his ear didn't hurt, and he was running around like a madman chasing the dog and climbing over and under everything in the house and screaming wildly. And I think it turns out that he got wind that he was going to the doctor, and he doesn't like going to the doctor, so maybe that set in motion some sort of placebo effect, or maybe he was just bullshitting to begin with. But at any rate, he stayed home with me about half the day while I tried to work, and he ran around like a banshee on speed. And one thing that, there's two things in the world that I love more than anything. There's my son and Star Wars. Those are the two best things this planet's ever produced. But when you get those two together, they become the most obnoxious thing ever. I introduced my kid to Star Wars, maybe 6 months ago. And he was familiar with the characters and, you know, a little bit of the story prior to seeing the movies. But now that he's seen the movies, the kid just doesn't shut up about Star Wars. Not only does he just talk about it constantly, but he's always constantly just asks me questions about Star Wars, which would be cool if once these questions were answered, he would then move on to new questions. If that were the case, then we'd be done with questions at this point because I've answered several thousand of them. Problem is that they're routinely the same questions, being, does Darth Vader get his hand cut off? Is this the movie where Darth Vader gets his hand cut off? Which movie does Darth Vader get his hand cut off in? And then another set of questions are, does Luke Skywalker get his hand cut off? Which movie does Luke Skywalker get his hand cut off? Is this the movie where Luke Skywalker gets his hand cut off? And there's other questions like, who are the stormtroopers? Who dresses up like stormtroopers? Where does the Emperor live? Do stormtroopers go potty? That was the most recent one. At least that was a new one. Most of these I've answered several times. I mean, I've told my kid, I think at least 50 times in the past week alone, that Darth Vader gets his hand cut off in Empire Strikes Back. I mean, Luke Skywalker gets his hand cut off in Empire Strikes Back. Darth Vader gets his hand cut off in Return of the Jedi. 20 minutes later, what question do I get? When does Luke Skywalker get his hand cut off? Is this the movie where Darth Vader gets his hand cut off? So it's very strange to have two things that you love combine to make one thing that is incredibly obnoxious. It's almost like that Voltron robot from the Japan animation cartoon where the little pieces come together to make one gigantic thing that's just all-powerful and totally destructive. That's like my son joins with Star Wars and makes a giant robot that just smashes all over my intellect and patience. I think Zigzag's on the line. Hello.
Rufus.
Can you hear me? Zigzag.
I can hear you. Can you hear me? How are you, my friend?
Can you hear me as good as last time? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I do believe I can.
Okay. Because it turns out my voice is like way overpowering on the last one, and so I looked at my settings on my computer, and for, like, the mic was cranked, and it has the setting to like add decibels to your mic, which I've never seen before, and that was cranked. So I've kind of reined that in. So hopefully we're a little more evenly matched.
That's all right, not a big deal. Hey, I tried to sign in as co-host, and I could see everything, and then I attempted to do like start a chat. If you see, there's chat over there. On the, uh-huh. I guess, the switchboard, and I instant messaged you, can you see this, but apparently you could not. So I was in there the same time.
No, I saw some blips. Did you see two of us? Did you see two things that said host?
No, I just saw you as host, and I was on the chat as co-host, but I think that
really?
You needed to open up that chat thing. Or something like, don't worry about it now. I already got out of that. But I'm with you about kids and asking questions.
Yeah, is there anything that like your kid just is obsessed about that even if you like that thing, it's just totally at the point where it's driving you nuts? Like, I love Star Wars, and now I could give a shit less about it. I'm just so beat down to Star Wars at this point.
That would pretty much be everything I've ever loved now has turned into something that I hate.
Oh, great.
Yesterday, my daughter's playing in her sandbox, and she looks up to me and goes, Dad, why are we real? And I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Then she goes, what if we're not real? And I was totally blown away.
That ruined your day.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I went in, and I was like, they're making acid in science camp this week.
Well, God dang, sounds like your kid might be like the next Messiah or something. Those are pretty deep questions for a kid.
Yeah, she probably saw it on Despicable Me or something, more than likely.
Yeah.
Which I've seen 10,000 times now. Well, you know, a couple weeks ago we were talking about do-it-yourself projects, and
yes.
Today, in the last 2 days, I've made 4 trips to Lowe's, which actually is a record in and of itself, because usually that would have been more like 6 or 8 trips. But
things are getting better.
Yeah, I've got a couple afternoons off work because they're doing some painting on the interior of my office area. So I'm like, yeah, I'll go home and do it yourself stuff too. You know, kind of got in the mood watching these guys get some shit done and make the place look great. I'm like, I can do that. So I break out the pressure washer. This just happened today. I broke out the pressure washer that I've only used once ever since it was new. I'm like, this will be sweet. You know, I'm going to clean the outside of the house, get it all looking good or whatever, since I've got like somehow the dirtiest house in the neighborhood. And I started up, it's running fine, and I pull the trigger, and nothing happens. I'm like, okay, well, I guess if all else fails, I'll read the directions. So the directions are like from, obviously from China, wherever they built this thing, and they're just like pictures. You know the directions, Cliff?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
They're just like pictures of whatever. And I'm going through them, and
right.
I'm like, I think I've done all the steps. And I'll like look through it again. I'm like, well, maybe I didn't do that step right, or maybe. And then I come to the conclusion that these fucking things are just written wrong. I'm like, these people don't care about me getting anything done or feeling good about anything. They basically want me to go inside and kill myself. Because I could not make heads or tails of these freaking things. So, of course, now I got to go back to Lowe's after the show's over and probably buy another piece or a whole another, probably another power washer that was made in America if I could find one.
Do you think that the Chinese instructions with pictures were maybe, they didn't work because they were like somebody in a Chinese sweatshop drawing pictures of, you know, you helping them escape? And it wasn't about a pressure washer at all?
Now I'm going to have to go read them again. Thanks a lot, Rufus. I'm going to have to sort through this thing and probably, I'll probably call Sting or someone to help you out to help free these people that are in this sweatshop.
Yeah, it might be a cry for help. Hold them up to a mirror. Maybe that's what you got to do. Maybe backwards they look like it'll reveal something.
I'm probably going to hold them up to light and try. I'll probably take a crash course in Chinese this evening and see if I can't decipher something that might be written in the background. I'll take a crayon.
Well, thank God for Google. Yeah, there you go.
So what about you? Anything exciting happened with you this week?
I talked yesterday about how I ran for the first time in a couple of weeks and how it totally sucked. Well, today I lifted weights for the first time in a couple of weeks, and it totally sucked too. But one thing I learned about lifting was that?
Good luck washing your hair tomorrow.
Now, my biceps are way too big to reach my head.
Well, I'm just saying, you're going to be so sore tomorrow when you go to wash your hair, you won't even be able to lift your arms up like past your shoulders. I guarantee it.
Well, luckily I shaved my head, so I don't have to wash it. But brushing my teeth is going to be a pain in the ass.
Yes, it will be.
One side effect I noticed, like, while you're, like, lifting weights or, like, right after it is, aside from the excruciating pain, and I always feel like I'm going to vomit at the end of it. But I also feel like I'm so totally ripped that I just owe it to my muscles to go beat somebody up. I just want to go pick a fight.
That's testosterone for you.
Yes, I'm loaded.
Well, and you know, the other part that sucks is, like, obviously none of your shirts fit, so you probably have to walk around the yard for an hour or two without a shirt on.
Yeah, I've ripped the sleeves off most of them, even my dress shirts. I go to meetings with, my biceps and triceps showing.
He's like, don't worry, dude. Good for the Hulk. Works for me. Works for the Hulk.
Yeah, that's actually funny because my kid, in addition to being a Star Wars fanatic, he's a Hulk fanatic. And so when I'm working out, he's around me and he takes off his shirt and pretends to be the Hulk and, like, upturns the mattress and flips over the couch and does all kinds of destructive things.
Does he say, Hulk smash?
Yes, a lot, all the time.
We've got a neighbor guy here that we call Shirtless Guy because he's like this guy that runs a lot of marathons and all kinds of shit, and he, like, has declared war on shirts during the summer, so he basically does everything outside of his house without a shirt on. I mean, this guy literally never wears a shirt, and now he has his son just graduated high school, and now he's not wearing a shirt ever either. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So he's got the shirtless twins.
You should show him up and be no pants guy.
Yeah, then I'll just end up tripping over myself, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah, and so will they.
More than likely.
It'd be a hazard for the entire neighborhood.
I don't want to scare the neighborhood ladies. Plus, I don't even like the sound of people going around calling me pantsless guy. Now, long gone
it's kind
silver,
of rolled off the tongue.
One thing.
Yeah. But pantsless guy, that does sound a little, well, not nearly as cool. That sounds like something that should be on a wanted poster.
More than likely, it would be eventually.
You still have a van?
No, I don't have a van anymore. I actually drive a Nissan Pathfinder.
Oh, cool. I actually used to have a Nissan Pathfinder, but I was thinking a pantsless guy would do good with a van.
That's true. I could just wrap it around the back a few times.
Yeah.
What are you driving these days, Cliff? Martin Rufus?
I'm driving a Dodge Ram pickup truck.
Oh, I almost bought a Ram. I almost bought a Ram instead of my Pathfinder,
really?
Actually. I did.
Interesting.
A black
one. It's a good vehicle.
Black
I've got no complaints.
Is
oh,
it?
Sweet.
Yeah,
I got a red one.
Then I was like, you know, gas is $5 a gallon, and this Pathfinder will probably get better gas mileage, but it only gets like 10 miles to the fucking gallon anyway, so it was. I should have got a truck.
Right.
Because every time I go there, I'm
that,
like, man.
Are you there? I think we're having another Skype lag issue.
Yeah, I can definitely tell that it's lagging a little bit. That's why I was wondering if I could get in as co-host. Maybe we wouldn't have any delay at all, which would be brilliant.
That would be awesome. I think next time I'm just going to call in on, like, my regular phone.
You know what, Rufus? I'm going to hang up and call you back on the regular phone and see if that's any better. Can I do that?
Okay, yeah, give that a shot.
Actually, I don't have to hang up.
Yeah,
I'll just call in on another line.
Sweet.
All right, give me a
it'll
second.
Appear as though we have two colors. Okay.
And I hope I don't blow your mind. First, we'll probably have a bunch of feedback then, too.
My mind is still blown from your daughter's questions.
Yeah. Thank you. If you got an answer for that, let me know. I would appreciate that. Or anybody listening out there, if you have an answer about are we real or not, let me know.
I think if you come to an answer to that question, you're instantly just lifted off of this planet and taken to a different place. You don't have the opportunity to tell them about it. They'll make you their god, and you can feed on them.
All right, it should be ringing in.
Hello.
Are you there?
I am here. Are you there?
I'm here. Am I delayed still?
Yes, but I think it's my fault. I think it's my Skype.
Hold on, hold on. Let me hang up Skype. Let me hang up Skype. There.
Okay.
Am I still delayed?
Okay, you disappeared off the studio screen.
I
think the question is, am I still delayed?
No, I can hear you like you're talking right this second.
Okay, let's count to five. One.
One, two, three, four, five.
Three. Six.
Five.
Okay. So, anyway, I was going to say that talking about my Dodge Ram, my red Ram, that if I ever became an Irish porn star, the Red Ram would be my name.
I like it. I like it.
Or would that be a communist porn star? I don't know.
The Red Ram? I think it is one, actually. And I think he dates the Red Lamb.
So there is...
Am I still delayed? Can you tell if we're delayed or not now? Or is it worse? Sorry,
I
listeners.
Can't, I think it's better. Yeah, it's Skype's fault. I mean, it's better now just because you're not on Skype, but it's still there because I'm on Skype. So I think next time I'm just going to call in on my phone. And then... Everything should be good.
So what if we have a caller then?
Look, well, then they better not fuck up the show by calling in on Skype. That'll be the first question we ask them, are you on Skype? But if they say yes, then we instantly hang up.
Now, would you be able to see if we had a caller if they weren't on Skype? Or if you weren't on Skype, I guess.
Well, I'm running everything through the Blog Talk Radio studio, so it shows, you know, who's called in regardless of how. So I'm guessing that whether they called in on a phone or a landline or whatever, it would show up.
All right. I guess that makes sense.
Okay. Look, one thing I wanted to talk about for sure that I had on the list last time and we didn't get to, and this is for the listener's sake as much as mine because I don't know all the fine details about this, but you are like a deadhead in the truest sense of the phrase because you actually followed them around, right?
I did. Yes, I did. I did do a couple tours with the Dead, kind of liken it to a Scooby-Doo episode. Lots of Scooby snacks being smoked, lots of munchies being eaten, and basically the biggest mystery was where you were probably going to sleep that night or get a ticket for the next show. Because personally, I hate camping, so that was probably the worst part of following the Dead. I really am not a big camping person.
So
I like to watch TV.
I mean, there was a lot of camping between shows, like more camping
right.
than hotels. How did you even get tickets? Were they at the gate?
Usually, you just walk around and go, "I need a ticket. I need a ticket," and either trade illicit substances for tickets or cash. But there's always people out there. There was a lot of trustafarian people out there. And by trustafarian, I mean people who smoked a lot of weed and just kind of went around on their parents' credit cards, and they would buy a bunch of extra tickets and then sell them for cash and probably do drugs and start shooting heroin with the money, I would imagine, eventually.
Wow.
But funny you should say that. I was listening to the Dead Channel on XM Satellite Radio the other day, and there's a show called The Golden Road, and they have a thing called Tales from the Road. And these people were calling in, and I'm listening with my wife, and I was so embarrassed to actually be a deadhead or actually like the Dead at all, because every person that called in was a total burnout and could not form a complete sentence.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
And even the guys hosting the show were like, "Okay, we need a point for the listeners." And they like had to keep cutting people off because people would get on there and just ramble and go, "I'm so effing stoned right now. Oh, thanks for answering the phone."
Oh,
these guys,
no.
I mean, it was frustrating to listen to, but it was like a train wreck. Because me and my wife were driving, and then we'd turn it off, and then like 2 minutes later, I'm like, "Turn it back on." And then we'd get so frustrated, we'd turn it off again. And then like 5 minutes later, she'd be like, "Turn it back on." And, like, every time we turned it back, it was some idiot just making less sense than I'm probably making right now.
Yeah. Do you think it was – so you're probably, like, an outlier when it comes to, like, Grateful Dead fans. Do you think, like, for the Grateful Dead themselves – because their music was, like, totally genius. It's not like
it's
anything just an average stoner could come up with. Do you think that they ever were, like – "Jesus Christ, come on, you know, can't we get some fans that really understand and get what we're doing on a musical level?"
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there was. If you read any interviews with Jerry Garcia or whatever, I mean, obviously they love their fans, but, you know, it was a love-hate relationship. Dead wanted to be more about the music, and a lot of the fans turned it into being about, you know, not even necessarily fans. I mean, people that just were out to get drugs and stuff like that, you know.
Right.
It wasn't about the music. It was just about getting drugs and coming to shows to buy drugs and take them and sell them on the street and all kinds of crazy shit like that. You know, Dead wasn't, like, the best proficient band ever, but they were the best at what they did, if that makes any sense.
That, from what I know of them, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, they were... not the best proficient band, I guess that makes sense what you said, but I mean, like, dynamic live performers, their music was well thought out and well done and well written. I mean, it wasn't like, the music never struck me as like, just a bunch of stoners sitting around and let's see what we can just fucking do for the sake of doing it. I mean, all the music that you introduced me to was like really stuff to aspire to and not just be like, you know, it's stoner music. I never really thought of it as just stoner music.
Well, I guess that's not. I guess that came out wrong. What I really meant was that they were the best at what they do, but they're pretty much the only band to do what they did. But that might make more sense.
Right.
They were truly. Yeah. I mean, you can't. There's no band like the Dead, you know. And there's plenty of bands out there who try to be jam bands and whatnot, but there's just that collective mentality between the band members that I just think that you've got to be together probably 20 or 30 years to really get something that solid together, you know, where you're finishing each other's riffs and you just kind of know the direction and the mood that the whole thing is kind of takes on a life of its own.
Yeah, and it's, you know, to our credit, it took us 3 months to get to that point.
Exactly. And, well, I didn't say, you know, we're the best at what we do, obviously.
That's true. That's true. That's true. And I like the Dead, I hate all of our fans.
Well, yeah, it's a love-hate relationship. It is. I mean, you love to hate them. You just love to hate them.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I'm kidding, fans. By the way, if you're listening, just call 646-478-0616.
Yes, please do. We'd love to talk to you, hear what you're thinking this evening on Hypersloth Radio Happy Hour. Feel free to check out our website at www.hypersloth.radio.com and listen to the newest mix, Beer is Food. Our man Rufus has done an excellent job of putting that together. Hats off, Rufus. Great job with that.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I'm going to add another verse to it and maybe a bridge, and I was thinking, I wanted to run this by you. I tried to text it to you, but the idea was just too complex to try to text. But I was thinking, like, do like one more verse, and then instead of a bridge where it's like an actually like a different riff, maybe just kind of break it down and do some sort of spoken word thing where it sounds like you're at a bar ordering a drink and there's things clinking around in the background, something like that. What do you think?
I like it. I like
maybe
the sound of it.
Maybe some police sirens.
I really do. Sirens, probably a pistol whipping. Pistol whipping would probably be in order.
Yes, a woman
some
screaming.
Bars.
Pistol whipping, woman
some
screaming.
Bars being closed. A jail cell being closed. I have that right here. You ready? You ready to hear this? Here's the jail cell being closed. Does that sound like a jail cell being closed? That was actually a jail cell being closed. I swear to God, and I'm going to tell you how that came to be. The guy who owned my house before I did, right, he actually was a cousin of my dad's. Long story, I mean, it's in a roundabout way, but he actually had a gun collection worth $500,000.
Wow.
This is a true story. I mean, we're talking like 500 or 600 guns. And he built this house that I live in now, around a gun room that's in the basement, and I probably shouldn't be telling anybody this, but all my neighbors know about it now. We've actually turned it, sadly enough, into a playroom for our daughter, or more like a jail cell, a giant jail cell. It's probably this room. I'm actually in the room right now. That's where I do the radio show from, because it's kind of got an office in here as well. And
interesting.
I'd say this room is probably 20, no, it's bigger than that, probably 25 by 40 feet. It's a good-sized room. It's actually the whole size of our garage is actually above it. It literally has a cement ceiling and four cement walls in this room, and it's got a jail cell over the door, outside of the door. And then it's got a hidden doorway that you can't see when you close this other door that's out here. And this is a jail cell closing. I could not make that sound up. I mean, that would be totally impossible. I mean, that's so true.
That's awesome. Wow.
So, yeah,
that's cool.
It has all these gun racks and stuff in here, like superior lighting, but I've hung all my guitars on the wall, and my daughter's got some of her stuff down here, but it's totally soundproof. It's a cool room, really. If you didn't know it was here and you came in this house, you would never find it. So basically, it's probably why I bought the house, because at some time before I had a daughter, I was like, yeah, we could grow a shitload of marijuana in there. But that never happened. Come on over, coppers. We're not growing any marijuana in here.
We could shoot a badass music video in there.
Yes, we could. But it's an interesting room. It really is. And all my neighbors say, you know, now that I've been here for 7 years, but they're always like, You should have seen that room when Nick had that room. It was like SWAT was in there. I mean, he must have had, wow. I never even saw the gun collection, but I guess it was fairly impressive. I mean, $500,000 worth of guns, and to build your house around a room devoted to storing your guns, I guess it probably would be a pretty serious collection. So long story short, I have a prison cell for my wife and daughter, so when they get online, it's right down into the gun room.
Sweet. Well, I guess I found my next home improvement project.
What's that?
Building a prison cell for my parents and my wife and kid.
I've got one gun. I have one gun that I was just going to keep in here. I was just going to put one gun in here and lock it up.
Are you going to put it on like a pedestal in the middle of the room?
Yes.
Like the idol from Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Exactly what I was going to do. Actually, I was going to put it under glass.
And have laser beams all around the room so nobody can get to it?
Yeah, except for Tom Cruise. He was going to come in.
We should do a video. Dude, the Beerus Food video should be a guy breaking into that room, and what's on the pedestal is like a Pabst, and he's trying to get to it like Indiana Jones or the Mission Impossible guy.
I agree 100%. I think that's an excellent idea, Rufus.
Excellent. I'll be there tomorrow.
And we'll have to get a six-pack.
Yes, a six-pack, of course. Yeah,
there's no sense in – who buys one beer? What is the sense in buying one beer unless you're driving? And that by driving, I mean you're going to open it and drinking it while you're driving between point A and point B. That's what I mean by driving.
Right. Yes, and here's a good tip. Even if you don't have a baby anymore, put your beer in a sippy cup. A cop never looks in a sippy cup.
Good point. And put your marijuana in what appears to be a dirty diaper.
Yes, another good point. Officer, I've got nothing but sippy cups and dirty diapers in my van. No need
to
look.
Go on your way, sir. On your way, sir.
Yeah.
Godspeed. No, I don't know if you – I saw in the news recently that some lady got busted trying to smuggle heroin in her baby's diaper.
Oh, my God.
Which I actually – I'd say it was, to me, kind of ingenious, really.
It is kind of ingenious, really. I mean, baby's got to be good for something.
Except that she got caught. So apparently cops have got that all figured out.
That's probably the baby's fault. He should be severely punished.
Well, it turns out it wasn't a baby. It was like a 40-year-old man dressed as a baby, just a midget.
Oh, I think I know that guy.
And for some reason, even though he was wearing a diaper, the heroin was in balloons in his stomach. Turns out he just had like one of those baby fetishes.
Okay, that's my problem. I always put the heroin in diapers and then swallow the whole diaper.
That could be a problem.
Very painful. Yeah, passing that is pretty difficult. It's worth it, though.
It always is. Hey, speaking of any more headway on your trip to Nicaragua?
Actually, I was going to say that, we just bought a case of Pampers for our trip to Nicaragua.
Oh, so it will be
a
lucrative trick. It's a working vacation.
That's right. So we're going to go to the cocaine island, swallow a bunch of cocaine-filled diapers, and then head back.
Well, make sure you take a lot of beer so you can trade beer for cocaine.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. And prosthetic legs.
Right, and don't bother with a toothbrush. They do not want toothbrushes. Actually, they're outlawed.
No, no. I think they are. You have to make your own and buy them on the black market.
Funny story. Not really a funny story, but when I lived in a dorm at St. Edwards, a friend of mine, Jim Handy, good guy. I don't think you ever met him. He actually had moved away by the time that we had met. But his roommate was a gentleman named Malik, who was from Africa. Malik was an older gentleman, probably, I would say, mid-30s, which seemed really old to me at the time since I was like 19, and he brushed his teeth with a stick. This is the honest to God truth.
Really?
Malik brushed his teeth with a stick, and this guy had the nicest freaking teeth you've ever seen in your life. So,
really?
That's another reason for the stick up. That's a true story, Malik. And it was so funny because my friend Jim Handy was a heavy drinker. And I probably shouldn't use his real name, but he wouldn't mind. He knows he's a heavy drinker, or was. And this guy, Malik, used to get up every day at like 6 o'clock in the morning and pray, you know, and they have to, he was Muslim, I guess, so he had to like turn a certain way. And he used to open the blinds in the dorm room and be like, "No more pseudo night for you, Mr. Handy." And like, the way that people speak, and it's something that has stuck in my mind forever, is him saying that, "No more pseudo night for you, Mr. Handy."
Pseudo night.
That guy must have thought we were freaking insane Americans. Because,
no kidding.
He was the nicest guy, though. He never complained or anything, and we'd stay up till like 3 o'clock in the morning. You know how big a dorm room is in St. Edwards? Probably 10 by 12, maybe. And he never would complain. He'd stay up all night drinking beer and bullshitting.
Wow.
And Malik was a teetotaler.
And he was a teetotaler, too.
Oh, yeah. I just thought it was interesting.
I can't imagine being a teetotaler. Did he put toothpaste on the stick?
No. He just brushed his teeth with, like, and the stick was, like, all frayed at the end. Very interesting. So think about that, people. Next time you put a nice, cushy, soft bristle toothbrush to your teeth, that you're not really getting them clean.
I'm thinking maybe we should throw this in the R&D department for Hypersloth Industries. I mean, there could be a market for, like...
I say what we do is immediately we just start buying up forest land because you know it's going to be huge. So let's
that's
just
true,
start
so we have a whole forest of toothbrushes.
That's the way to look at it. That's exactly one way to look at it. And if that doesn't work out, it's good.
You know, I thought of... That's true. Another thing that I thought about earlier today or yesterday that I think was an invention of yours, although it's crossed my mind in the past, is a restaurant that serves nothing but Totino's and ramen noodles, like college junk food, but
college
it's ready-made and you just drive up through a window. Yes, I mean, I seriously think that would fly, like at UT campus and even St. Ed's.
Yeah, I'm sure it probably would. Well, it's mac and cheese with tuna, all kinds of stuff. You could probably, I'm sure there's probably some place out there doing it, some hipster, cool guy, getting rich, when it was actually your idea. You know what you have to do, though? You also have to sell 6 packs of Tall Boys, Busch Light Tall Boys.
Yes. If you could deliver a delivery service that worked the college circuit and delivered like hot steaming cups of ramen noodles, 6 packs of cheap beer, and like rolling papers, you'd be fucking gold. Charge like mark everything up 75% because you're saving these people the trip. You know, they want to get out of their dorms and walk downstairs and do all that bullshit.
But, you know, when I lived in Austin, when I first moved there, there's a place called Snap's Buy and Fly, and it was a liquor store that delivered booze and beer. I don't know if Snap's is still open.
Really?
Yes. And long story short is you could also order a bag of weed from a certain driver,
what?
And they would actually deliver that. You could get 3 for $5, they called it, which was 3 joints for $5, or you could get a 20-bag. Which was basically a quarter ounce of pot, but the pot was always crappy and really seedy, but it didn't really matter if you didn't have a car, like I didn't the first year that I lived in Watson. Snap's Buy and Fly was a brilliant place. And obviously the owner of Snap's didn't know about the marijuana sales, but it was just one particular driver who had made it his public service to make sure that kids in college dorms without cars could get weed quite easily. And I want to thank him for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking that's probably, you didn't hear about that from the, you know, the actual marketing initiatives of the establishment itself.
No, it was actually my RA.
Oh, really?
No,
really?
Really?
No,
no
kidding, you're RA.
This is the truth. There was a blind guy named Wayne who also went to St. Edward's and lived in the dorm. He is the one that told me about it.
A blind guy named Wayne.
Yes, yes. Wayne, yep. You know what? I don't even know Wayne's last name, but he's the one that told me. Wayne was like the first person to ever have, he used to be on these bulletin board chat rooms, right? This is like when 1987, so basically he had an Apple IIe, I think, and he used to, I mean, this guy could type so fast, it was unreal. But, yeah, he used to have, like, his computer, since he couldn't see, would, like, talk to him. This is the truth. You know, it would, like, talk in, like, a Stephen Hawking voice. But he would talk super-duper fast, because he could turn up, like, as fast or as slow as he wanted to, and he could, like, hear this shit so fast, it was, like, unreal. I know that's a boring story. Let's get on to something more exciting.
No, that's not boring. The reason I was blown away when you said your RA did it is because my freshman year at St. Ed's, the guy that I moved in with was a pot smoker, and he promptly got kicked out for weed by the RA who discovered it.
Was his name Hector?
Nope, no, it wasn't Hector. I don't remember what it was, but he was probably a totally cool dude. I didn't know it at the time because I was pretty far removed from anything cool. I was a small-town dork. but... Yeah, he got kicked out for smoking weed, or he had weed in his room, whatever. But
my first roommate at St. Edward's, his name was Mike Carey, and he was the world's biggest Billy Joel fan. I mean, straight up, he used to wear, like, a skinny tie and dress like Billy Joel and stuff. We were a lot different, let's say that. You know, usually I think that's kind of how it ends up when you move into your first term, but yeah, we were busted smoking pot numerous times at St. Edward's by the RAs and stuff like that, and you know, no one ever really said anything. It was a little looser back then, apparently, before the tight asses moved in. One guy did get kicked out for having acid. I know that guy that I didn't really know, but psychedelics scare me. I never have really been into taking hard drugs. Hard as it gets for me was marijuana and beer. Not saying I never took acid, but I didn't particularly enjoy it. As the one time I did take it at St. Edward's, I got to sit across from my RA at breakfast because I was still tripping like 12 hours later. And it was enough to keep me from ever taking that drug again. Let's put it that way.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. What's that?
No, I was going to say, people assume that if you like the Grateful Dead or whatever, you love to do crazy hallucinogenic hard drugs and shit, and that I don't find that true by any means.
No, I've never done acid. I did mushrooms a few times, and I never liked it, and it's always made me more nauseous than it made me trip. The only time I ever had a good time doing mushrooms was at Roehampton when Joel, I think he was moving out, and he had some, and he's like, hey, you want these? And I was like, yeah, what the fuck ever. And I just went into my room by myself and just took them and laid on my bed all night. And that was cool because I'd always taken them like a social setting where it was like, hey, we're going to take some shrooms and hang out. And I instantly after taking the shrooms was like, I don't want to fucking be here at all with you people. So, yeah, I've always been, and even weed, I liked weed, and I got to a point where I was even buying it, and I could, you know, roll up a pretty good joint with one hand, and I always had a tray stashed under the couch. But it didn't have a long-term hook on me like beer did. So
right.
I guess I'm a pussy when it comes to drugs. I just, you know, Anheuser-Busch, and that's about it.
Well, yeah, because alcohol is not a drug.
Well, it's not. It's legal. It's legal.
Right. No, I'm with you.
It's sold in the same places
beer.
I enjoy
beer far more than any other illicit substance. Well, I mean, I guess beer is legal, so it's not illicit. But, I'm a beer guy, obviously. You know that more than anyone, probably. I was thinking one time, I wonder how many cases of beer we went through at Roehampton, or how many cans. I mean, I remember days when that whole living room table was like three cans high, and that was a big living room table with beer cans.
Yeah, and I remember, oh my God, because I used to smoke too, so I remember, like, this is after Joe moved in and things got kind of weird, so I spent a lot of time just kind of hanging out in my own room there.
Right.
And I would
You're
just sit in there drinking tall boys. I'd sit there, drink tall boys, and drink a whole and smoke a whole pack of Camel cigarettes. And I don't remember any ill effects then, but I'm sure I've probably knocked like 15 years off of my life just from doing
that. Rufus, I actually have a picture of your room post-Rufus. I guess it was a post-Rufus episode where there's probably 30 beer cans on the floor next to your bed and like two empty packs of cigarettes and a drawing that you did, and I think your guitar is actually in the picture as well. I'll have to find that. I just saw it not that long. I have to find that and send you a copy of it.
Wow. I'd love to see
it. Oh, your flannel. It also has your blue flannel shirt is in the picture too, I think. The one that you had hanging on the wall. Maybe there was there a blue shirt or some kind of flannel shirt hanging on the wall?
Really?
Yes. I swear
That's
to God.
Because I still have a shitload of flannel shirts. My wife asked me today, whenever she was putting up the laundry, like a good wife, she said, are you going to keep all these flannel shirts when we go to Nicaragua? Because it's hot. And I said, I guess. But I didn't know what to answer. But the point being that for some reason, even before the grunge days, you know, I wasn't a slave to fashion. It was before Seattle and all that bullshit. But there's always like flannel shirts. I don't know why.
Nothing wrong with flannel shirts. And you probably could use some in Nicaragua. I mean, cut the sleeves off and you might get some kind of gang affiliation, but you'll be good to go.
That's true. Well, like I talked about before, my biceps are so huge now I've got to cut the sleeves off of them.
Right. Well, and Hulk used to be into wearing flannel, I do believe. Pretty sure that flannels and cords were the way the Hulk went.
Yeah. In those Marvel comic books between like 1990 and 1997.
So you
I think
quit
Hulk
smoking
even toured
then.
With Nirvana.
You quit smoking?
I quit smoking. Yeah. I quit smoking probably about, I actually quit like maybe 3 years ago. I cut way back. Like I used to be like a pack a day, like a real smoker, you know, back in Roehampton days and even quite a few years after that. But what really finished it off is we built our house that we've been living in for like 7 years. And I laid down a rule. I said, we're not going to smoke in the house, period. And we stuck to it because everything I like to do is indoors, all of my hobbies, you know, music and video games and movies, and I hate going outside and like, breaking a sweat. So since we could only smoke outside, I didn't want to interrupt whatever I was doing. So I guess I got lucky in this sense is that I never had to say, okay, I'm going to quit and then deal with that. I just kind of naturally over time smoked less and less until – yeah, at this point, I don't smoke.
Well, that's good.
I got lucky, though.
Does your wife still smoke, or did she smoke? I mean, I have no idea if she ever smoked.
She did, and she doesn't now, and having a baby helped that.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't smoke
when
she was pregnant.
You know,
Go ahead.
I remember the reason you started smoking, I think, was when you worked at Delaware Sup so you could take a break. Is that correct?
That's, a primary reason, yes.
So you could hang out on the stoop out there with Aaron Turner?
Wasn't so that I could hang out with him. It was so that I could get away from him.
I guess that makes sense.
And Victor.
Tell the Delaware Sub story where the girl passed out while you were working with her.
What? I don't remember that story. I worked with a girl who passed out?
Yeah, I remember Deanna was her name. She had that serious eating disorder. How she got a job at a sub shop, I'll never know.
Yeah, she was totally anorexic, and all she would ever eat was she'd take one of those styrofoam cups and put, like, three mushrooms in it and, like, two shreds of lettuce.
And a package of salt.
A package of salt. And, you know, now that you mention it, I do remember her passing out, but I don't remember all the details of it. But, yeah, I do remember that. Wow.
I just remember you came back and were telling me the story, and you're like, well, she was passed out, I should have stuffed a sandwich in her mouth.
Yeah, that and some other things.
Oh, my God. Poor Deanna. I wonder how she's doing these days.
Well, that's...
Not really.
I don't know. That anorexia was working because she was pretty hot.
Yeah, her teeth, her bottom teeth were looking good. Her bottom teeth were looking
real
special.
Every time she ate a mushroom, I was like, baby, you're getting kind of fat. You should have pulled back the throttle on the mushrooms.
I'm pretty sure her mom and dad were telling her that. good times we had over in Roehampton, and we will have again when we achieve world domination. Now, I am interested, if you want to talk to John about remixing Internet Love Song. I mean, otherwise, I'm totally for it. I'll pay for it to go over to Abbey Road Studios or wherever. It doesn't really bother me. The mixing is a little more expensive than the mastering, but I think they throw in the mastering if you get it mixed.
Yeah, well, let's have a serious discussion about it, like, off-air next week.
All right.
Because this weekend, I'm devoting myself to getting one more verse, doing the Beer is Food things, and then once that's done, then we have two songs that, you know, are done on our end, and then whatever we do, let somebody else do, we can decide. So let me do what I can do to Beer is Food, and then get your thumbs up or thumbs down or input, and then once we say that those are in the can, hopefully by the end of this weekend, then we'll decide.
Have been working on a riff for Buford the Village Idiot as well I'll put down and I'll send over for your listening pleasure, as it were, or for your listening putridness.
No, it'll be my pleasure. Yeah, do that as soon as you can. I'm eager.
All right. It won't be until this weekend that I can sit down and actually put music to digital files, I guess. I guess you can't say to tape or anything anymore. Now it has to be to computer.
Right. Yeah, no, that's fine. This weekend, I can't do anything until this weekend either.
All right, Rufus, you want to play out with Beer is Food? Do you have the newest version queued? Or I saw you have Internet Love Song for sure queued up on the studio track there.
I have one that says Beer is Food New, but I don't think it's the very newest one. So I'll just stick with Internet Love Song. And I will say, you know what, Matt? We've been having people listening to these shows after the fact.
Right.
Because, hang on one second.
I was going to ask if you were able to check out even the set.
Yeah, so the last show has had like 70 listens, but the one before that has had like almost 1,000. So
are you kidding me?
Even though people... No, I'm not kidding you. I'll take a screenshot and show it to you. Or you can log in. I'll just tell you where to go to look at it. So people are listening to it after the fact as a podcast. And I think it's because
we love our listeners.
If we tag these right. Absolutely,
right.
We do. So let's just say if you happen to be listening, call in at 646-200. Nope, that's the host number. Well, goddamn, I can't even see the call-in number right now because we're actually not live or recording. Anyway, whatever.
Right.
Check out the website, hypersoftradio.com, and I'll go ahead and play
it. Tell us what you think. Feel free to email us. zigzag@hypersoftradio.com. Rufus at zigzagradio.com or hypersoftradio.com. Drop us a line. We'd like to know what you think, good or
right.
bad.
But mostly good.
Yeah, please make it good. We have fragile egos.
Please make it. We don't need any constructive criticism. Only praise.
No. We take care of that on our own. We have wives for that.
That's right, and children.
All right, all you listeners, tune in next Tuesday, 5:30 for the Zig Zag Hypersoft. The Hypersoft Happy Hour with Zig Zag and Rufus. Oh my gosh.
All right, this is my new sign off.
Adios.
You will dub, typing so fast, my fingers on fire, sending out the goods through a fiber optic wire. I spy a little honey with a red hot font. I could tell by how she